Well, now to the other big story in Washington today, the unexpected defeat of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor by David Brat in Virginia's Republican primary. The victory not only shakes up the House leadership, it highlights ongoing tensions between moderate and conservative factions within the GOP. The former chairman of Tea Party Express said last night that Republicans must, quote, take notice that the Tea Party movement is not dead. David Brat told Fox News the party remains undivided.
It wasn't a contest between the Tea Party and the Republicans and all this, although I had tremendous Tea Party support, but I ran on the Republican principles.
So what do last night's results mean for the Republican Party? Whit Ayers is a Republican pollster and consultant whose clients have included Senators Marco Rubio, Lamar Alexander, and Lindsey Graham. He's with us on the line from Alexandria, Virginia. Whit Ayers, welcome.
Hello, Jeremy. How are you? Good to be with you.
Doing well. And how do you explain the Cantor loss last night?
That loss was so unexpected and so historic in many ways that when something like that happens, the seeds of the loss have been sown for some time. So I'd caution everyone about jumping to any sort of quick conclusions before we have a chance to really pull apart what happened and why.
So you don't think it was immigration reform, which some people have said?
No, that's simply not the case. Eric Cantor supported a DREAM Act, but never wrote a comprehensive piece of immigration reform, never voted for comprehensive immigration reform. We did have a good test of that proposition yesterday, Jeremy, and that's in South Carolina, where Lindsey Graham not only won, but won a big victory, having been a chief proponent and writer of comprehensive immigration reform. So that's a too easy explanation for Cantor's loss. It's simply not wrong, not true.
Well, what does Cantor's loss, do you think, mean for the Republican Party and the House leadership, and whether it's going to become a much more conservative House leadership?
It's hard to tell at this point. There clearly is a strong anti-Washington tone out there in the country, particularly among Republicans. So becoming a part of the leadership may very well not be an advantage for a congressman. They have got to remain the congressman from their district in the perception of the voters in their district, not the majority leader of the United States House. So there are a lot of lessons about how other people who are in the leadership may run their races after this.
But do you see the party moving further to the right, generally?
I doubt it at this point. The government shutdown was such a wake-up call for those who thought that was a smart strategy that I think a lot of people learned some very difficult lessons last fall during the shutdown. So I'd be surprised if it moved further to the right than it already is. That said, it's already pretty far right.
Who do you see taking over for Eric Cantor, who it looks like is going to be leaving his post as majority leader next month?
Well, there are a number of possibilities, and I haven't talked to enough people on the Hill this morning to get a sense of who has the momentum, but I'm sure it will be a vigorous race. It does shake up the entire leadership.
You don't want to give us a guess? These might be your clients. Who knows?
Jeremy, didn't we learn last night that trying to predict what's
Fair
going
enough.
To happen in politics is a fool's errand?
All right. Yes, yes. That's a good word to leave it with. There, Whit Ayers, Republican pollster and consultant. Thanks so much for joining us.
Surely. Good talking to you, Jeremy.
And let's turn now to NPR Politics editor Charlie Mattesian, who was one of the people who, on this program earlier this week, predicted not just an Eric Cantor win, but a big one. Charlie, welcome back.
Hi, Jeremy.
So you, like everyone else, was wrong about that. You were wrong about that.
Right. I was wrong by a lot. What I was looking at was the margin of victory, and I wanted to see just how big it was going to be or whether it would be a narrow victory for Cantor. I didn't even think I saw a defeat in the realm of possibilities. And let me frame it this way. Cantor's loss makes him the first House Majority Leader to lose renomination since that office was created in 1899. So it's a pretty ground-rattling event. This is a guy who was one of the most prolific fundraisers in Congress. He was cash flush. His opponent was a little-known college professor successor who spent only a fraction of the money that he spent. So it's fair to say almost no one saw this coming. I mean, everyone knew, at least in Washington, that there was some recognition that Cantor was facing a little bit of turbulence back home in the primary, but no one would have predicted that he would lose and also lose handily. Keep in mind, he lost by 11 points,
yeah.
Which is a pretty stunning defeat for an incumbent.
Well, you heard Whit Ayers there say that immigration, that this was not about immigration per se, that Cantor was not defeated because of support for a version of the DREAM Act. But what do you think it does to the debate over immigration reform on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think if immigration reform was on life support before the primary, I think we can say it's now flatlined, at least as far as Congress is concerned. And the reason is that Cantor really got hammered in this primary as a proponent of amnesty for undocumented immigrants, which in a sense was misleading since he was simply an advocate for a more piecemeal approach to immigration reform. But I think the takeaway on Capitol Hill is going to reinforce the notion that among many Republicans that this issue is simply too radio active among the conservative base.
What does this mean, Charlie, for House Republicans? Cantor was long considered to be a House Speaker in waiting.
Right. His defeat was so unexpected that naturally we're going to see something akin to a wild leadership scramble right now. And I think Whit Ayers sort of spoke to that a little bit. And it's largely because congressional leaders almost never get taken down this way. Already we know that some of the top ranking lawmakers are making their plays for the number two slot by calling and emailing their colleagues to seek their support. Publicly, folks are keeping their hands close to the vest, but we're already seeing lots of names surface. And I think you're going to see even more of them in the ensuing days.
NPR Politics editor Charlie Mattesian joining us from Washington on this big day in Washington. Charlie, thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
This is Here and Now.